The book of Psalms, chapter 9, it reminds us about what happens for a nation that forgets God. And if we think about, we're on the eve of, or we just had the weekend of the anniversary of Patriots Day, 20 years since our country came under attack. And we do have in the back, Ms. Perry has prepared a handout for you there in the back regarding Flight 93 and what was able to occur because some Americans stood up and resisted and were able to stand and defend our country in the middle of all of that going on. But, you know, we were talking with the kids this week about what Patriots Day was and what 9/11 really was about. And, you know, for many of us, we can remember where we were at and what we were doing. But, you know, for a lot of people, they forget about that this event actually occurred. There are still some people in some camps that deny that there was, they say it was a whole conspiracy behind all of it, besides just it being a terrorist attack on our country. But, you know, there's a danger in forgetting. There's a forgetting fallacy that goes on. And God's put on my heart to talk about, what happens when we forget God as a nation. In the book of Psalm, as I said, chapter 9, I want to begin reading in verse 11 through 20. It says, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. When He avenges blood, He remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, and the net which they hide, their own food is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." There's a problem that occurs when people or nations forget God. I was thinking about what they talked about, you know, post 9/11 and the resurgence to church and people returning to church in the weekends and the weeks and a couple of months following 9/11. They talked about how church attendance was at an all-time high following those attacks, and how people turned to God and faith and coming together in houses of faith across the land as, you know, as part of their coping and coping mechanism. But, you know, people really studied and took great interest in what would happen. How long would that go on? How long would that endure? And the reality is, after about 2 months, the numbers started falling. People were quick to begin forgetting their need for God and all of that. And that, so, that, you know, the church attendance, they say, after about 2.5 months, returned to pre-9/11 numbers. People were quick to forget. People were quick to turn their back on, their faith again. But, you know, we think about, why is forgetting so dangerous? Why is it a dangerous tack for us to take as a nation, forgetting God? You know, it's something that, you know, we really think about it. It's a heart response of what's going on. Really, it boils down to it's a sin of rebellion is what is happening. A sin of rebellion that goes on because it closely follows on the heels of pride, because when a nation starts to think too highly of themselves, they think they don't have a need for God. In verse 15 of our text, it says, "The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. In the net which they hide, their own food is caught." So that what's happening is a nation that begins to forget God is really committing the sin of rebellion. You can start seeing it play out. They think that they have the divine right to tell people what's right or wrong, and what, you know, using man's judgment instead of following God's ordained rule to follow of what's right and wrong. They start placing too high of an opinion of their own judgment. You know, they think they can tell us what is right or wrong that is contrary to God's word. They're putting their own word above what God says. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because they're trying to dictate a country that forgets God, thinks that they have a better moral path for people to follow than what God tells us in His Word. You know, you can see this being played out. For instance, in marriage, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, the marriage between one man and one woman, when you start going contrary to that, you're allowing marriage of the same sexes, okay? That's contrary to what God's Word says. Okay? If you say that it's okay, you don't really have to be married, you can live together, it's all right. Now that's contrary to what God's Word says. That's putting your own morals ahead, that moral path ahead of what God says. When you say it's all right to kill innocent children, it's okay. No, that's contrary to what God's Word says. Bible says He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He tells us to stand up and be the voice for those, for the voiceless. Stand up and defend those that are defenseless. So when a country decides, you know, for a long time we've been in that status. We've been in that case for a long time where people are saying it's okay to do that. And it's not okay when you're living contrary to God and His Word. You know, you think about a country who is in rebellion to God and forgetting God has the policy of we can meet all your needs. Government will take care of you. From the cradle to the grave, we will meet all of your needs. A country that decides to try to do that and put that mindset in people's minds instead of showing them their need and dependency on God is a government that's living contrary to God and His Word, a country that's living in rebellion of God, a country that has forgotten God. Does that sound familiar with where we're at? We have people all the time that are pushing agendas. You know, let us take care of you. Now, people, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you know, a work is a gift from God. We should be happy to go out and work. And you know, God ordained a whole. We talked about this briefly last week, but God had a whole economy system set up that even the poor and those destitute had a way to go and reap and harvest food and gather food, but they worked for it with their hands, and God blessed them. Remember what we were talking about where the farmers were set up? They had to leave some. Once they went through one pass, they couldn't go back and do a second pass. Everything that fell on the ground in Ruth and Boaz, the story of Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth. Okay, once they made their first pass, anything that fell on the ground was left over for the poor. They could come and glean and gather everything that was left behind. And in the corners of the field, God had a system set up so people could earn and gather together. I was thinking about how when we give and give with dignity so people respond the right way and you don't develop a welfare mentality. You know, we don't want to develop that sin of rebellion that's going on. Which, by the way, if you're taking notes and part of the scriptures and references, we'll be having the book of Psalm chapter 9. I'm saying this for people who are on the radio as well. But Psalm 106 will be another reference we'll be going to a lot, as well as Romans chapter 1. In a couple of verses out of Isaiah. But in Psalm 106, I would like to read this as we think about what it means for a country to be in rebellion. And the children of Israel were a prime example of this time and time again. And how they would go for a while and God would bless them in certain ways and give them certain blessings. And they would go along and they would forget God. And they would veer off the path that God would have for them. But in Psalm 106, and we think about people living in rebellion. In verse 13, it says, they soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their country, and a flame burned up the wicked. You think about what is going on when people's hearts, when they are living in rebellion to God. They want to forget the precepts and the commands that God gives. There's a judgment that happens. There's a sin that people start down the slippery slope and they end up into the sin of rebellion. a second phase that we'll see about in verse 16 of our main text. It says, "The Lord is known by the judgment He executes. The wicked is snared in the work of His own hands." What does that mean? The wicked is snared in the work of His own hands. You know, a country can define its path. You know, when we start going down the path of complaining, the sin of complaining as a country, you know, complaining about this, complaining about that. We have these certain expectations that we just think we have a right to. It's a dangerous place to be. A country doing that will create its own judgment. What does that mean? What are you talking about? See, God's judgment is going on around us all the time. It's going on. God's love is around us all the time. Now, there are times in certain places, we just read about a time when we saw God's active judgment, where the earth opened up and swallowed those who were in rebellion and speaking out against Moses and speaking out against Aaron. And God calls the earth, the people that Moses, remember in that instance, in the time of, I hate using the word story, but in that account of what happened, you know, basically they said, all right, everybody who's with them, y'all get over there, and everybody who's with Moses, y'all get over here. And God calls the earth. People saw and visually understood that was God's active judgment. Okay? There's times when you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, when fire and brimstone fell. That was a time of God's active judgment. But there's passive judgment that is going on around us all the time. We see it play out, and there's the thing called in the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow later than you sow, more than what you sow. And that there's God's judgment will stand true. God does not change. The Bible tells us that He is the same forevermore. And His judgments will stand. So we see that God's judgment is going on around us all the time. In the Old Testament book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it reminds us that, you know, we need to stop complaining. We need to change our heart before God. It says, "Surrender your heart and not your garments." Because the Israelites, a lot of times when they were in times of mourning or remorse, they would tear their clothes, they would put ashes on their head. But, you know, what the Word is trying to tell them here, it's not just about doing that on your clothes. It's about your heart. It's about your mind. Okay, where are you at? Where are you at positioned with your heart before God? It says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm." I'm so thankful for this verse. I'm so thankful for this promise that God is slow to anger. He's allowing us time to repent. He's allowing us time to turn around and get things right. His passive judgment is playing out. Why? So people are not harmed. People are not, brought under active judgment right then. But, you know, wicked behavior brings judgment. Make no doubt, there's no doubt about it. Make no mistake there. Wicked behavior brings judgment. David was, King David, in the book of Psalm that we're reading from, he was prophesying it to the nation of Israel again and again and again. Wicked behavior, if you allow it to go on in your country, it will bring judgment. There's no doubt about it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. In fact, when David was prophesying, it came to fruition in about, I think it was 586 B.C., the Israelite nation suffered judgment, and God used their enemies to come in and chastise and bring active judgment on them time and time again. When a nation is wicked and forgets God and begins going down the slope of the sin of rebellion, the sin of complaining, that nation will stand in judgment before God. It will not stand as a nation. It will not continue to be a nation. All you have to do is look at history, look at God's Word, and you see it. There's a danger in America forgetting God. We have a job to be doing and a job to be talking about the things of God. But in Psalm 106, again, we read in verses 33 here it says, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips, they did not destroy the people. So they were, God had told them, it was, as they were going in and conquering the land, they were supposed to destroy certain people. Well, they disobeyed God, okay? But it didn't destroy the people concerning what the Lord had commanded with them. They mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. That's powerful. That's powerful. A country determining its own judgment. It says, going as therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. They were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. That's a warning to a nation. Don't forget God. Don't slip down the path of being impatient, thinking we're entitled to things right now. See, the generation that we're in, we're in an entitled generation. Instant gratification. Instant gratification. We've got to have it. We've got to have it right now. The book of Isaiah warns us about what happens when a nation goes about complaining all the time and developing that sin as an acceptable way of behavior. Isaiah 17, 9 through 11. Did I give you that one, Will? I don't think I gave you that one, buddy, but let me turn to it real quick here. Think about how one of the ways that we see playing out in God's judgment on a land is when we'll start suffering things like when you plant seeds, they won't grow. Okay, everything, it should work. You know, the good seed, good ground, we'll start seeing God affecting the nation's food and food sources. It says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation. This is Isaiah 17, beginning in verse 10. It said, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In the day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a reap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. You can have certain plans go out, but we'll see God's hand of judgment begin in that method, in that manner. In our text, the main text of Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, we see that there's a sin of idolatry that is detrimental to a country as they are a nation, as they're forgetting God. In verse 17 it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It's a dangerous place to be for a country to forget God and put something else in the place of God, which is idolatry. Idolatry is putting something before God. People all across our land today are putting something before God. Church houses are empty. People are not gathering together, even in their homes, and worshiping with God. They're not putting Him first. Something else is in place of God for that day. That's the sin of idolatry. And a nation that is doing that will soon die. Listen to the words God's Word is telling us. A nation that puts an idol before God will soon die. We know that And when the children of Israel came into the promised land, God set them out, and there were certain times and paths and places that they had to go, and they couldn't even attack certain other peoples that were there because the Bible says their time was not up yet. God was still demonstrating that slow to anger, that time of repentance, that time of He was allowing a nation to turn back to Him. And those people in those lands continued to do idol worship. And then God brought a hand of judgment. He used the nation of Israel to annihilate certain people in those lands. Wiped them off the map. Gone. Nation no more. What does that tell us about our nation? A nation that gives in to the sin of idolatry will soon die. It's anything that stands in the way of God. Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe to you who mix up things. Woe to you who say good is evil and evil is good. You see that happening in America today. You see it all over the place. The things that the Bible tells us is sin. People say, nope, that type of behavior and those types of actions are good. That's okay. It's all right. Let's even actually promote it. But the things that are good, oh, well, that's bad. Doing the things that God tells you to, that's bad. That's wrong. What type of person are you to be that judgmental? Well, we're not. All we're saying is that God says something. And we're all sinners in need of a God, in need of a Savior, saving us from ourselves and saving us from that sinful nature. So a nation that mixes that up, we better look out. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. This is Isaiah 5:20. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We better look out as a country when you're going down the slippery slope in the sin of idolatry, forgetting God, failing to worship. That's what we see happening. You want to start seeing step one, step two, step three. There's a step in there where people fail to worship God. Just look around in churches on a Sunday morning. Look around and start seeing. Look around in people's homes and are they failing to worship God? It's happening. It's a condition of people's heart. You know, when we're cut off from God's guidance, when you no longer want to have the guidance of God in your life, that becomes a form of idolatry. You know, the people in dealing with the post 9/11, we talked about how they flooded the houses of worship, seeking a way to cope and deal with the sorrow and the tragedy that was there. But then that flame quickly puffed out, and they got back to their normal routines and began forgetting God and begin to avoid that guidance that God can give. You can send another signal that'll tell you when a nation is going down the path of idolatry in this form of rebellion is when they lose a sense of life's purpose. They lose a sense of life's purpose. When people don't really know what it is that you're here for, what it is that life brings, what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Well, I know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I believe that God's Word tells us that we're supposed to worship God. We're supposed to glorify God in all that we do, with our voices, with our actions. We're supposed to be living out, bringing Him honor and glory. In Psalm 106, jumping back and forth, I know some of you may... Now, what in the world? But when we're reading about warnings, let's look. And I mean, the Bible is full of them. It is full of them. But in Psalm 106, in verse 19, you know, we read that it says that they made a calf in the valley of Horeb there and worshiped the golden image. This is the children of Israel when they were out in the desert and Moses was up on the mountain talking with God, trying to seek God's guidance to know what they should do. The people were impatient. That instant attitude right there, the instant gratification. He's up there. He's taking too long. We don't know what's happened to him. So they compelled Aaron to make a golden calf for him to worship. They took necklaces and earrings and he melted it down and made a golden calf. And he says, thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of hand, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy him. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach and turned away his wrath, lest he destroyed them. So somebody stood in the gap. Somebody stood and prayed for the nation of Israel. When the wicked run amok, God's judgment will come. You want to see where we're at? Turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. And this scripture we read a lot of times when we're talking about things that are righteous or unrighteous. But if you want to know about God's wrath on unrighteousness, listen to the words of this text. Listen to the words of the scripture and see if we know where we're at. Okay? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for life and worshiped and served the creatures rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow, what a warning. What a warning where we're at. They lose a sense of life's purpose. Where are we at? There's a sign of hope. In the midst of all of this, there is a sign for hope. Where are we as Christians in this? You know, we have hope. We have hope. There is hope for the faithful. In the book of Psalm there in 9, it says, there is hope for the humble. There is hope for the poor. He won't forget. God is a promise keeper. You know, when we stand up and, we know that in the end, God wins. Man will not prevail. God wins. What a victory. What a sense of promise. What a sense of hope that we have. God will remember His promises. You know, God's judgment actually is a sign of faithfulness. So when I think about a country, you know, and how can God judge a country? It can be anything from, natural events that go on to a country's economy being in turmoil to a country being under attack. Now, you take all of those things, those are natural things that go on because God's nature is set up to operate, right? Economies can flourish or tank depending on what people do with it. So all those are natural cycles that go on anyway. Countries can attack one another all the time when men have greed for certain things. Those things can occur all the time anyway. Those can be the things that life brings anyway. But God will also use those to judge a nation too. So there is a sign, you know, that a sign of hope when we see God's judgment falling on a nation. There's still time. There's still time to respond. There's still time for people's hearts to change and get back to God. Boy, that's a hopeful sign to me. When I see God's hand of judgment on a nation, that's a hopeful sign to me. I'm glad. Why? Because that means that we're not fixing, well, it means we're not dead yet as a nation. God's still giving us grace. He's trying to say, turn back to me, turn back to me, turn back to me. Don't forget. Turn your hearts back to me. So when I see God's judgment that way, I know that He's fulfilling His promises. It's actually a good chance for a country to change. I'm excited about that. See, Psalm 106, verses 44 and 45. Give me just a second. I'm getting excited and bumped my page there. But it says, nevertheless, He regarded their afflictions when He heard their cry. And for their sake, He remembered His covenant and relented according to the multitude of His mercies. God will remember His promises. God will remember His people. You know, we think about what the Bible tells us in Malachi 3:16, that God does not change. He is the same forever. In Hebrews 13, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God in His love and His mercy does not change. God in His position of judgment over sin does not change. What a sense of hope that is for us. God is a promise keeper. He does not change. He says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." You know, when it can be dark all around us, but there's a light at the end of a tunnel. Okay? God does not change. There's a sense of hope. You know, His plan brings hope and salvation. Nations should not forget God. In Psalm 33, and we're going to close with this verse, Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. And think about where we are as a country, where we are as a people, and where we are as God's people, and what we should be doing for our country. Get to the right verse here just a minute. It says, "The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect." See, there are people right now in our country who have ill will for the United States of America. People all around the world who hate what the USA stands for. They would, again, try to harm our country. But there's a promise. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. There is hope when we have our heart and our mind focused on God. It says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance." If a nation will remember God, there is hope. For people who remember God, there is hope. There is hope for you. There is hope for us. There is hope for our country. Let's don't forget God. Let's stand and let's sing. We'll have an altar call. It says, "I need thee every hour." 6:30 is in your hymnals with that. We'll have it on the screen. And if you feel the need to come and pray at the altar, I'll be here. If you would like me to pray with you over something, or if you have something you'd like to talk with me about, that's what I'm down here for. But let's sing, "I need thee every hour."
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to joy or pain. Come quick.
Thank you for being here and joining us today for worship. And Brother Danny, would you close us out in a minute? As soon as I read this verse, we'll close with this thought in your bulletins there. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. So let's remember to put God first and follow His path and not forget God in all that we do.
Father, we thank You again for this day, and thank You, Lord, for this sermon and Jim. We just pray, Lord, that we won't forget You. Pray, Lord, for our nation. As we go out this afternoon, Lord, we just pray that You would just be with us. And we just thank You, Lord, for loving us like You do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.